what they know about them Texas boys.
You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night, on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. We're slamming that cage door behind you for the next hour. Over here in the blue corner, I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at EddieExperience, one E in the middle. And this week, in the red corner, on the Vaquero's Cafe and Cantina Hotline, coming to us all the way from Virginia, it's the backyard wrestler who grew up into a semi-responsible dad, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger. Jordan, how's it going?
I'm good, man. I'm on the opposite side of the country now. Last week, I came to you from Seattle. Now I'm in Virginia, right outside Washington, D.C. I'm one of these days, Eddie, I'm going to get back home. I'm going to get back home to Texas. I haven't been there since, I think, the 2nd of July. So,
man, you better leave D.C. before the Russians take it.
Oh, man. So I will, but I'll be back soon.
All right. Well, we miss you. I think Chad misses your hair.
Well, I mean, I appreciate that.
Yeah. What can we say about that? You have a good weekend? All your traveling?
I did. I spent the weekend in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And with the family. We saw a couple movies, saw Skyscraper. And we
How was
saw,
that?
It was good. I mean, who doesn't want to see Rock jumping off of buildings and off of cranes with one leg? I mean, it's a fantastic, it was a great movie. I really enjoyed it.
That's next on my list.
And then we saw Hotel Transylvania 3 as well.
Oh, well, I happened to see two movies on Saturday myself with two different friends. Saw a matinee of The First Purge, and then I saw Sorry to Bother You, which let me tell you.
How were they?
Purge was okay, poorly written, kind of just slapped together. But Sorry to Bother You was deep, introspectful, and a little crazy. It was fun.
Okay. Good. I'm glad you enjoyed that. Did you do anything else fun?
Watched Extreme Rules on Sunday with Stu Myrick. He of Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, coming up in about an hour.
Yeah, and I know him.
Yeah. But I left before the main event because it was Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler.
Well, and you missed out on a fun night then. I'll let Stu talk about it when it comes up.
Yeah. But Saturday, UFC Boise. Jordan, tell me you watched this.
Of course, Eddie. Sage Northcutt, need I say more? Chad Mendes? JDS coming out probably to some Rocky music, the Rocky theme song, which
yes,
we know Junior Santos comes out to.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I did watch. I even watched some of the prelims.
What?
Mostly on Fast Forward, but some of the prelims.
Hey, that's better than usual.
Yeah. So, no, I actually really enjoyed it. So, first off, tell me, Eddie, did you win $3 again in DraftKings?
You know what? I completely forgot about DraftKings until Monday.
Oh, my gosh. What a lost opportunity for you to make some money.
Well, with the way the judging was going, it's probably a good move. But I think I would have gotten like four of the main card. Kat Zingano, Chad Mendes, Sage Jr.
Would you have picked Dennis Bermudez? Would you have picked Randy Brown?
It would have been a toss up.
All right, let's start right there with that fight, Nico Price versus Randy Brown.
Oh my God.
What did you think of that finish? Hammer fisting from the bottom.
First off, that just sounds, never mind. It was something I've never seen before. And he really knocked him out with the first shot. The next four were unnecessary. But who knew?
It was brutal because Randy Brown, I mean, he looked like he was landing strikes from the top. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden he's moving around, moving to kind of get a better angle. And Nico Price just sees an opening and hits him with those hammer fists. And you're right. I mean, it looked like he was out right after that first or second one. But then he hits him with, I think, two or three more. What a way to finish, and what a way to just continue to make an impact, you know, for yourself.
Oh, man, it's like the longer we watch this, the more we see things we've never seen before. Like, I know it's probably happened somewhere in the annals of history, but really, it's basically never happened. And then what happens later on, it happens again.
Back to, like, those finishes that we've seen, we saw those hammer fist finishes. I think it was Travis Brown did one. Those were elbows, I guess.
Yeah, the elbows, yeah.
Very similar, though, you know?
Exactly.
But this Nico Price, man, so he's got a win over Alan Jomon. He had a win over George Sullivan, now Randy Brown. He did lose to Vicente Luque, but the guy, he's 12-1, And he's got one no contest back in 2017. But this is someone that I think he has a win over Brandon Thatch, who, you know, he headlined a card against Benson Henderson back in the day. I'm looking forward to this. This is a guy that could be a good up-and-comer.
Oh, you're completely right. And apparently he's got crazy power.
Yeah, definitely. Eddie, I want to try that to you, see if that we have the same the same finish.
We'll think about that if the Dodgers can beat the Astros.
Oh, man.
I said we'll think about it.
Astros got to get past the Red Sox first.
Well, after last week, they need to get past the A's.
Harper? How about Bryce Harper on Monday night? Future Dodger, hopefully, Bryce Harper. And definitely Golden Knights fanatic Bryce Harper winning that home run derby. Did you watch that?
I did not.
Oh, man, it was talk about, excitement.
Well, you know what I did do? Last week I made a day trip, or a night trip, I guess, to Houston to see the Astros play the A's because it was replica ring night.
Okay, and you got one?
I did.
Oh, my gosh. Are you wearing it right now?
I'm not, but it's on my Instagram.
Wait, let me tell you. So last night I wanted to go to the All-Star game. Tickets to get in the building were like $300.
Oh, I was going to guess four.
No, $300 just for standing room only. And baseball.
And the home
run
derby?
Going to baseball games.
Wow.
But this has never been a competitive game. You know, like this is never like when you're leading up to the All-Star game, you never think like, you know what? This game is just going to be like never going to be like a World Series or exciting game. It's fun to be there. That's a lot of money to spend, man.
That's ridiculous. How much was it for Monday night?
I didn't check. I didn't arrive in the area until after the home run derby would have started. So I didn't even look.
Okay.
So, all right. So let's go back. How about the return of Kat Zingano back to the win column?
Oh man! And you can tell just by her reaction how much she needed that.
Her last win when it was?
2014.
A victory over Amanda Nunes, okay? So she hasn't won a fight. That's before the Ronda fight, obviously.
Right.
She hadn't won a fight since 2014. She lost to Ronda Rousey. She lost to Juliana Pena at UFC 200. And then she lost to Caitlin Vieira at UFC 222. So it's nice to see her have two fights in a year because previously she fought, she literally since 2010, she fought once in 2011. She fought once in 2012. Once in 2013, once in 2014,
wow.
Once in 15, once in 16, did not fight at all in 2017. And now she has two fights already in 2018, but also got back in the win column.
Yeah, and she's also experienced some personal tragedies in some of that time. So, and we won't get into it, but she really needed that win.
It was good. It was really good for her to get that win. We know. Remember, she was I think she was the first mother to win.
Yeah, I think you're right.
In the UFC.
Yeah. And she's someone who can go to 35 or 45. So now the options open up for her big time.
You look at her wins. She has a win in Invicta over Raquel Pennington. She was the latest title contender. She has a win over Miesha Tate. She has a win over current champion Amanda Nunes. She lost in 14 seconds to Ronda Rousey. She lost to Juliana Pena. That was at UFC 200. And then, Caitlin Vieira, who we think is a contender in that division.
Right.
So,
nothing to sneeze at.
How about Chad Mendes coming back, Eddie?
Oh, man.
Did you expect him to look that good?
I did not.
To finish in the first round with a knockout? You know, they talk about ring rust as something real, and he's out there training. He's got Cody Garbrandt. He's got Uriah Faber. He's got Sage Northcutt in his camp. And Chad Mendes, to see him come back after 2 years away after the failed drug test – it was good to see him get back in there. I wish they would have talked a little bit more about why he was out for 2 years, as opposed to just saying like, "Hey, you took a break for a little while." He didn't really take a break. I mean, you kind of were forced to take a break. But
it just reminds me of the supplement these nuts picture.
But he's also, changed the whole landscape of that top 10 in that division. He's now ranked seventh in the rankings in featherweight.
He becomes an immediate contender.
Yeah, I'd love to see him go up against someone like a Josh Emmett when he gets out. I guess he wouldn't fight Josh Emmett because of the same camp. Maybe fight Frankie Edgar again. That'd be a great return fight for him.
And if you just think what the world would be like if he had a full fight camp for the Conor McGregor fight. Yeah. I mean, that literally turned the world on a dime.
We definitely would be – well, I'm not saying we'd definitely be at a different place, but that fight could have looked really different.
And most people will tell you, will believe that – you know, Conor never would have had a belt around his waist if Chad Mendez had a full fight camp. Well, had been out on a boat drinking beer and fishing.
Would have, should have, could have, Eddie. So,
right.
All right, let's jump to the co-main, Sage Northcutt. What do you think about Sage?
Oh, man. Sage has grown so much. And not just going from lightweight to welterweight, where he hadn't won yet. But just to see his conditioning and his – and, you know, he still needs to work on his takedown defense. But the fact that he was able to get off the ground finally, and each time he got taken down and return with a flurry of punches that actually damaged Zach Otto, that's huge.
Yeah, no, you look at that first round, I mean, it looked like it was going to be a rough night for Sage.
Oh, yeah.
He gets clipped right at the very beginning of that fight. He gets taken down, and he has trouble trying. I mean, he's able to withstand, you know, him being on top of him, and then he makes it up to the top, makes it back up to his feet at the end of that first round, and then he gets that that finish with a KO in the second round. Well, I was actually in Las Vegas, and I actually did not see that finish live. We were in a storm, and it cut out during that part. So I actually didn't see that finish on the fight, nor did I get to hear what he said. But I went back and listened to him. Is there a better person in the world than Sage Northcutt?
I don't think
the nicest guy in the world.
I want to have like a nice guy off between him and Brian Ortega.
Maybe throw Mark Munoz in there.
Oh man,
I mean it's just. It doesn't get much better and much classier than Sage Northcutt talking about how we can just be kinder to other people.
Yeah, and right after he finishes a guy with another set of hammer fists.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
So a lot of people are calling for Sage Northcutt versus Mike Perry. Do you remember that the pictures of Paige VanZant versus Beck Rawlings? Like you know, the blonde versus the tatted Beck Rawlings. It's kind of like Sage Northcutt versus Mike Perry. What do you think about that matchup?
Like, let's just slow down, people. I know it's a great story. It makes for a great visual. But let's see. What's Mike Perry is not in the top 15 at the moment.
He's not ranked. So you have two people who are not ranked in the at all.
I guess you could do it, yeah. Oh, man.
You have someone like a Mike Perry who...
Like, part of me wants to say it's a big step up in competition. But is it?
Yeah, you know. Mike Perry has losses to Alan Joban, Santiago Ponzinibbio, and Max Griffin. Wins, his key wins are Jake Ellenberger and Paul Felder, obviously, on a short camp.
But those are some good wins, though.
And then you look at Sage. Sage got his first win at welterweight. He, you know, I think he's kind of right there. I mean, you couldn't – it's in your head, you like to say that it's a mismatch or that it's too soon. But Mike Perry hasn't really proven anything where he is in that he – is someone that's, you know, would be a big threat to Sage. I think that'd be a fun fight.
You know, and the one thing Mike Perry has proven is that he's got crazy power and that he's improving.
Well,
that's about all you can say.
For days.
And actually, you can say the same about...
The Katy High School Sage Northcutt.
Yeah, you can say the same thing about Sage, yeah. Because Sage, and like when he got off the ground, he immediately hurt Zach Otto on the feet. That's why as soon as the second round opened, Zach Otto went for the takedown again. And every time Sage got back up, he blasted Otto and hurt him on the feet. So it would, you know, the more you talk about it, the more it makes sense.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But then I'm just reminded that he's 22. I'm like, there's no rush.
There is no rush. Mike Perry, what is he? He is 26. I mean, it's not that crazy, though.
Yeah, it's not.
He fought in lightweight before.
Perry did?
Perry did, yeah.
Oh, huh. Some reason I just got the feeling he was bigger.
Yeah, his first two fights he fought at lightweight.
All right.
So, there you go.
Let's do it in Dallas.
Oh, man. Oh. I hope we get Sage on that Dallas card. So, all right, Eddie. The main event, Junior Dos Santos versus
Blagoy
Ivanov. First off, man, when you have, you know, five-round heavyweight fights, they're not great.
They're not. And you think you're going to get this powerful striking contest where, you know, someone's going to get blasted. You know, it's not going to go the full 25 minutes, and then it just drags.
It's really fun when he gets finished in the first round, like you know, Stipe versus Daniel Cormier. It's not fun when it goes three rounds even, but five rounds especially.
Yeah, I think two rounds is my sweet spot for heavyweights.
Two rounds, you say?
Yeah.
No, that's not bad. So JDS, Junior Dos Santos, he defeated Ivanov, really just like beat him all around. you know, he won 50-45 on all the scorecards. Mm-hmm. But I think the real thing about Ivanov, the guy is a former, you know, he's a former World Series of Fighting champion. He lost in the Bellator tournament finals to Alexander Volkov. He actually, I think he defended his the World Series of Fighting championship three or four times, right?
Yeah, I think, three or four. Don't ask
me
who.
This guy was stabbed back, I think, in the heart in 2012. He was in a coma for about 80 days.
And you can see the huge scar, the huge indentation on his chest, and it's just scary. Then you think about what he's come from, like, oh, my God. He's my hero.
Yeah, a tough dude. Defeated Fedor in a Sambo match. So,
oh, yeah, to win the world championship. That's so big.
I don't know what's next for Ivanov. I don't, you know.
But I guarantee whatever it is, he will not be perturbed. He will not be scared. That dude's been through the fire.
Yeah, I mean, I would let him fight somebody. I mean, it was a huge step up for him. Let him fight someone like a don't give him Arlovsky, although that does make sense. But someone right either outside the top 15 or right there at the bottom of it. Justin Willis, Shamil, Abdurakhimov.
Good job. Is it too soon to get him on the Moscow card?
Yeah, get him on the Moscow card. I think he could do. I mean, it depends, you know, how hurt he is after that fight.
Right.
But what do you do with JDS? What do you do with Junior?
Oh, man. There are so many ways you could go with him now that – and you'd hope – it kind of almost looks like his chin is back after such a layoff, which would be good because you'd swear the guy was a lot older than he is. He's only like 34. But he's been around so long, he feels like he's 45.
Well, and exactly, and what happened to him in those Cain Velasquez fights, especially the one that you were at?
Oh man,
I mean, he lost. I hate to say that he lost, you know, fight years, but I hope he just he didn't lose the years in general.
Yeah. He got his face rearranged.
Yeah,
that was
rough.
Ugly.
How about a fight against him against Francis Ngannou?
That'd be a good one. But you know what also would be a good one? Him and Stipe again.
Yeah, that you know they could run that one back, and we'll talk about that one in a second. But anything else that you want to highlight, Eddie, from UFC Boise? Were you sad that they didn't have a blue octagon mat?
I was kind of hoping for like blue padding around the top of the cage. That'd have been nice. There were some issues with the judging. Was it Saeed Nurmagomedov, a cousin of Khabib, defeated Justin Scoggins by split decision? That one I kind of felt could go either way. But the Rick Glenn and Dennis Bermudez fight, you know, round three, Dennis Bermudez was on top for like 3 minutes, just blasting away. And somehow someone still gave Rick Glenn round three, gave him a 30-27.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little surprised. I did not expect to see a 30-27 at all. And when I saw the 30-27, I thought that, okay, well, you know, then Dennis Bermudez definitely is going to win this fight because – obviously, you know, he there's not a chance he lost one round.
Exactly, because one and two could have gone either way to me.
Yeah,
but
so I was surprised that Rick Glenn won. Dennis Bermudez also very surprised.
Yeah, more than that. Let's see, what else do we have? We had.
I mean, but also Eddie, you got to feel kind of bad for not necessarily feel bad, but Dennis Bermudez, who was a contender in that division, has now lost four fights in a row.
Oh, no, I feel real bad.
Green Zombie, Darren Elkins, Andre Feely, and Rick Glenn.
You know, it's not like he's losing to, you know, the bottom of the stack, but
this is a guy who has a win over Max Holloway.
Yeah, especially when you could have had those easily if someone would have just known what they were looking at.
Yep.
That's the worst part about it. Yeah, but let's see. Also in the prelims, we had Liz Carmouche defeating Jennifer Maia, Jessica Aguilar defeating Jody Escobel, and Mark De La Rosa defeating Elias Garcia by rear naked choke on the fight pass portion.
Okay.
Alexander Volkanovski defeated Darren Elkins. That was a good fight. I could have sworn Darren Elkins wasn't going to make it out of the second, and he lasted the whole fight.
And, you know, it's interesting. This guy, he was not ranked. He's ranked now. He was heavily, you know, the favorite
Volkanovski
in that fight against Elkins, who was ranked, came in ranked 10th.
Yeah, we want to talk about Vegas knowing what they're doing.
Yeah, no, that's true. I think that kind of wraps up UFC, but how about Bellator? Did you see Michael McDonald? Defeating Dudo Dantas?
Oh, man, my stomach just did a flip. Yeah, that was nasty. It was a little reminiscent.
I didn't get a chance to see it.
If you combine Anderson Silva's leg break with the way Krokop fell when he got kicked by Gonzaga, the way his leg kind of folded under him, Eduardo Dantas' leg folded under him like that, and then you just see, like, his ankle flopping. Oh, it gives me goosebumps just thinking about it right now.
Yeah.
But it was a great punch by McDonald. I mean, he floored him. McDonald floored him legitimately with that punch. That's why he fell. And then he finished him off not knowing that the leg was broken, obviously. But even in the cage, when McDonald saw the replay, he was grossed out.
Yeah. So then in the main event of that fight, you had Julia Budd defeating, who was it? It was
Talita Noguera.
Talita Noguera?
Yeah.
So she's the women's featherweight world champion. Really, I mean, she's been actually had a stellar career. She is she's 12-2. The only people she's lost to, Ronda Rousey back in 2011, back in Strikeforce, and Amanda Nunes back in Strikeforce back in 2011. But other than that, you know, she's you know, Charmaine Tweet, Marlis Conan. She's really been someone that has been great, and you know, you got to think that she's probably the second best, you know, women's featherweight champ or featherweight out there.
Oh yeah,
obviously Chris Cyborg.
And everything inside me says, please leave Bellator and fight Cyborg before she retires.
Yeah, that would be something that was interesting. She does have a win over the original UFC women's featherweight champion Germaine Durandami.
Oh, I forgot about her.
Yeah, so yeah, most people did too. Just like they're going to forget about someone else who's a women's champion right now when Shevchenko gets the belt.
Oh, the haterade.
I know.
Delicious. So, also Saturday, we had Bellator 203 coming to you from Rome, Italy. That was a pretty cool visual. Had Pitbull Weichel 2. This time, Patricio Pitbull Freire. How do you say that?
Freire.
Defeated Daniel Weichel by split decision, which I was surprised it was a split again. But he retained his featherweight title. Alessio Sicara, basically the MMA hero of Italy, wins with the first round TKO. Andrei Koreshkov returns with a spinning back kick KO. Liver kick. That was a pretty sweet one. And yes, I actually saw this happen live.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, Manny Pacquiao fought, by the way.
Yeah. Did you watch that on ESPN Plus?
I did not. But yeah, he got the 7th round TKO over, is it Lucas Matisse, to claim the WBA welterweight title.
Yeah, Manny doesn't really knock out people. That's been a while since he's knocked someone out.
Yeah, and a lot of people are wondering if it's due to the location of the fight. Kind of happened in Malaysia.
Yeah.
Not dealing with USADA over there.
Well, we'll see what's going on now.
People are talking. All right.
All right, Eddie.
Well, that is round one. He is Jordan. I am Eddie. This is Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn. We will be right back.
Hey, guys. Rafael Sunsal here. Make sure you listen to Eddie and Jordan, 104.9 The Horn.
This is Super Stage Northcutt, and you are listening to Fight Night with Mr. Wahlberger and Mr. Cross on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com.
Well, sit on down and tell me what up with that. Ooh, wee. Oh, what up with that? What up with that? Ooh, wee. Oh, what up with that? Oh, what up with that? He said, she said, we said, me said, what up with that? Who knew you knew? Said, what voodoo? What up with that? What up?
And the magic of radio and landlines brings you What Up With That from the Gulf Coast to the East Coast, back on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Jordan, it was announced that Robert Whittaker and Kelvin Gastelum will be coaching opposite each other on the next season of The Ultimate Fighter, but it looks like now Whittaker is out until 2019. What is up with that?
Yeah, that's right, Eddie. Actually, I think filming started yesterday, I believe. And so this is heavyweight men and featherweight women who will be on the season of The Ultimate Fighter.
Two divisions sorely in need of talent.
Yes, definitely. And we learned that it's going to be Kelvin Gastelum coaching one side and Robert Whittaker coaching the other side. And then obviously the two would fight at the end of the season, which would be before the end of the year. But now it sounds like Robert Whittaker, who just had surgery a few weeks ago, he has some plates and a screw put some screws and a plate put in his hand. I think it was the right hand. He also tore some ligaments in the left hand,
ouch,
but he in his right hand, and he doesn't think he's going to be able to go until probably sometime like next February. So I don't know what you do now, because he last fought at UFC 225 in May or June, excuse me, and now it's not going to be at least until February, and it should be Kelvin Gastelum. Would they do a could they do something in the meanwhile? I don't know. And you know Kelvin Gastelum probably will wait. He said that before, that he would wait.
Smart move.
But we'll see. And we always know that, like, in February, we've seen that those fights have been right around the time when they go to Australia. So it would make sense that, hey, ooh, that could work out, and it could be a fight in Australia for Robert Whittaker versus Kelvin Gastelum, the fight that they tried to put in Australia last year when they tried to do the Luke Rockhold fight.
And it could also co-main event a certain heavyweight title fight.
No, there's not a chance that fight's going to happen out of the country. So
no, but I mean, if it happens in the U.S., there's a chance you could have two fights on the same card.
Yeah,
two title
fights. Why would you put that fight on a card that's not going to sell
because
one more pay per view more than, you know, Cormier versus Brock Lesnar?
Because you're not sold that it can sell by itself.
But what?
You're not sold that it could sell by itself.
Yeah, but it's not going to add a pay per view to it. Why would you pay out more money to Robert Whittaker, who is the champion who gets pay-per-view points, on a car that he's not going to add any value to?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, no, I agree that it won't sell. You're not confident it'll sell by itself, but you don't need that. That's not going to increase the number of buys. People who are going to buy Cormier versus Lesnar, there's not someone out there that's like, oh, you know what? I'm not buying that. But you put Whittaker Romero there, I'm in. You know what I mean?
See, I'm thinking like a fan. You're thinking like an accountant.
Yeah, well.
But that's what they'll be doing. You're right. Okay, Jordan. Stipe Miocic wants an immediate rematch for the heavyweight title. And, you know, he's really upset about the whole Brock Lesnar thing. What's up with that?
So I can understand that he's upset about the whole Brock Lesnar thing. He was in the cage. He probably thought that Joe Rogan was going to interview him. He was going to have a chance. He was going to say, hey, I want a rematch. Brock comes in. He starts pushing people all around. And he gets into a war of words with Daniel Cormier, and Stipe is just kind of like left out in the cold, all the way out of the scenario, out of the whole discussion.
I know that feeling.
Go back. The guy has, you know, he defended his title four times?
Three times.
Well, three times. So he won, he defended it three times.
Right.
You know, he's someone that's really well-deserving of a rematch, and he should get an immediate rematch. You got Cody Garbrandt right now. He's getting an immediate rematch. The guy got knocked out, didn't defend the title once, getting an immediate rematch. Stipe gets it, but Stipe doesn't sell. Brock Lesnar sells, and that's what's going to really come down to. I hate to say this, but Stipe's not going to get a rematch against Daniel Cormier.
And I would say that he doesn't deserve an immediate rematch.
Why would you say he doesn't deserve one?
Well, number one, he got knocked out in the first round.
Yeah,
but number two, hang on.
Okay.
Number two, he defended the title three times. Yeah, that's the most for a heavyweight, but it's still only three times. He's only fought like five guys in the top 15. It's not like he's cleaned out the division. And number three, he refuses to sell himself.
Okay. No, those are all valid points. I would just add, you know, if I was Stipe, I'd be talking about, hey, Daniel Cormier cut me in the eye. He you know, on purpose hit me and poked me in the eye. That really affected me, and that's why I got knocked out. But no, I agree. He hasn't sold himself, and he hasn't done a great job at really endearing himself to the UFC. Remember that last time when he beat Alistair Overeem?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who put the belt on him? It wasn't
coach,
Dana White.
It
was his own coach. And so, you know, you're not going to be someone that the UFC is going to go out of their way to make to help you out, especially when you're not going to sell the number of pay-per-views that someone like a Brock Lesnar is going
to
sell.
Yeah, and especially because you won't literally try to get out there. I'm not saying you have to be Colby Covington, but you can't be Demetrius Johnson and then expect that everyone's going to want to see you fight again.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, Eddie, and I don't think it's going to work out for Stipe. What Stipe really should be thinking about is how do I position myself for when, if Daniel Cormier beats Brock Lesnar, how do I position myself, and he retires and he leaves and he vacates that title, that I'm the person who's in the match for the vacant heavyweight title?
Well, the first thing I was thinking about
John Jones. Maybe I start calling out someone else.
First thing I was saying was he should stay in shape, because there's a good likelihood that someone falls out of that fight. Or actually doesn't come to fruition at all.
Yeah, well, that's someone. We need to wait to see what happens with John Jones. We don't know the results there yet. But that's, I mean, you got to position yourself. How am I the next guy in line? If that's a win over Junior Dos Santos,
mm-hmm.
take it. And if you feel like, hey, that's an easy win for me, then that's something you should be going for.
Yeah, if somehow Brock Lesnar pops between now and then yeah, you get your rematch. if somehow AKA does what AKA does and Daniel Cormier gets injured, now you got a rock match possibly. Who knows? Stay ready. But that's just me. What do I know? What I do know is that we finally got Conor and Khabib in the same arena at the same time. There were no buses or dollies involved, but they were also very far apart from each other. What's up with that, Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, Conor McGregor sitting with Vladimir Putin at the World Cup.
Wow.
And Khabib just slumming it with his own countrymen.
Hey, he's a man of the people. Not slumming. He's a man of the people.
He wasn't even invited. You would think that if Putin's going to put his Russian, faith behind somebody, he'd put it behind Khabib. Well, what a slap in the face to Khabib,
right?
For him to invite Conor McGregor up with him. And it was really interesting to see Khabib's manager on, I think it was Saturday night, when Conor put a video of him in Russia. Ali Abdelaziz says, "You're not in Russia. There's no way you'd get destroyed the minute you came to Russia." And sure enough, he's there, and he's literally in the most exclusive box at the World Cup.
Yeah, that's craziness.
So, hey, one thing I am hearing, though, Eddie, is that they're trying to make this fight happen. Madison Square Garden, November 3rd.
That is not a surprise.
Conor McGregor, Khabib.
That is not surprising at all. Number one, it's Conor in New York, and we know how well that sells. Number two, Conor's got to be in New York for various legal reasons. And number three, it works out perfectly for Khabib's timing with his Ramadan training.
And he's huge there.
Yes.
Well, Ramadan's over, so
right. He's
ready to go.
So, yeah, you got huge Irish and Russian populations, Eddie, in New York. What's that?
Well, you know what else is good?
What's that?
I've got a hotel and flights already booked for UFC. Gosh, is that UFC 229?
220, something like that.
Yeah. I'm all ready to go.
Is that your second pass from the wife?
Well, she doesn't know it yet, but I'm hoping.
Okay, nobody tell her.
Yeah.
Just between us. All right, an old fan favorite of a lot of people is coming out of retirement, and this really suits him, Jordan. What's up with this guy?
Eddie, this one, I don't know if you saw this yesterday when I tweeted. I basically just tweeted like a tear when I saw that Chris Leben is coming back to fight, and he's fighting in Bare Knuckle Boxing Federation. So this sounds like this is a separate group from the Bare Knuckle Fight Club to Bare Knuckle Fight Federation. This one is going to be in Casper, Wyoming on October 20th. He's fighting Phil Baroni. But if you remember, Chris Leben, he stopped fighting because he was having heart issues. And he was having heart issues where, he felt like it was like only pumping like 18% of what it should be of blood out of his, I think it was his left ventricle. And that's why he stopped fighting, because his doctors had told him this was no longer a good thing for him to be doing. So I'll be honest, this makes me kind of sad that Chris Leben is fighting. Not only just fighting, he's bare knuckle fighting. We saw some of the brutal fights that happened when Bare Knuckle Fight Club happened. But to see Leben come back too, I mean, I don't know if I like this.
Do we know if he's had any kind of surgery or something to correct it?
I don't know what he's been doing. I thought he was doing. I don't know if it was real estate. He's been doing something outside of fighting, coaching, training, but he hasn't been fighting. So
I can't imagine Chris Leben in a suit trying to sell me a condo.
Oh man, that'd be great.
I would just immediately think someone died there. Yeah. Okay. Finally, Jordan. Oh, not finally. There's more. Details on DAZN came out this week. What's up with that?
Yeah. All right. So we now know that DAZN, it's coming out. It's going to make its debut in September with the Anthony Joshua Alexander Povetkin boxing match. So that's going to be on.
See, this is where I should tweet a tear.
Yes. The next week, because it's not going to be Deontay Wilder.
Exactly. Deontay Wilder. Yeah.
The next week, it will be Bellator MMA. So this is the Bellator MMA card in San Jose.
Oh,
and then there'll be another boxing card on October 6th. And then another MMA or Bellator show on October 12th. And so remember, it's $9.99 a month. You can have it on three devices simultaneous, and you can you'll get a free month to start. So you could actually get that Joshua fight. You could get the 29th September Bellator card, and then you can get those other two boxing and MMA shows. But also, when this announcement was made, we also found out a little bit more about the Bellator Grand Prix.
Yeah, speaking of the
Bellator
welterweight
Grand Prix.
Yeah.
So it's a 10-man tournament, Eddie. And they've actually announced nine people so far. So you've got Rory McDonald, you've got MVP Michael Venom Page, Douglas Lima, Lorenz Larkin, Ed Ruth, John Fitch, Neiman Gracie, Andre Korshkov, Yaroslav Amosov, and we don't know who the ninth person is. We've heard rumors that they want Paul Daly. They have not been able to get a contract going yet for him. They haven't been able to resolve that. And so he's not in the tournament as of today. We only have nine people in there. But it's going to kick off on September 29th, and that's going to be at that Bellator card. And Douglas Lima will be fighting Andre Korshkov in the first round in the debut of this fight card. So that's what we will know about the welterweight Grand Prix that's coming up soon.
You know, I still don't understand why they would have Rory McDonald in the Grand Prix. The winner should fight Rory McDonald. That way we've got the Grand Prix champion against the welterweight champion for the undisputed welterweight championship. That's huge. And now you have
he's just the champ.
Now you could possibly have the champ losing in, say, the first round by, you know, who knows what happens. And now where do you go? Does he lose the belt?
I don't know where you go. But he's the I don't know how you don't have his belt up. Why would his belt not be up in every single match he's in?
Well, in that case, you don't need a Grand Prix.
But you know what I mean? Why would his belt not be available if he's fighting someone at welterweight?
It makes no sense to me at all. So now if he loses, now you just got a champion who just lost a fight.
At his division.
Yeah. I hope they rethink that part and just add in Paul Daly to his slot. Or I think it might be a little early for Ed Ruth because he's in there with some killers. But, hey, who knows? His wrestling could take them all out.
Put him up against someone like a John Fitch? Wow, that could be rough because of the wrestling side of things.
Right.
But you want someone who
wrestling
can
cancel each other
out.
Now, if he went up against Paul Daly would be upset.
No, Paul Daly
he does not have takedown defense.
If Paul Daly is going against anyone in this tournament, it's going to be against MVP.
I hope they make that happen. All right. Enough of my spouting off. Give us some new fights.
All right, Eddie. So first off, not a new fight, but the UFC is going to be making its debut in Argentina. They're going to Buenos Aires on November 17th. So
see, that's where you use your pass.
There's a to-be-determined location. Hopefully Santiago Ponzinibbio can be back by then. I'm not sure his timetable, though.
Oh, let's hope.
Well, we've got Mickey Gall coming back against George Sullivan. That's at UFC Lincoln on August 25th. Also, you've got Yuri Alcantara versus Corey Sandhagen at UFC Lincoln. And then Bilal Muhammad is fighting Eliza Zaleski at UFC Sao Paulo. So not a ton of big fights announced this week, but that's what we got so far.
Well, that's pretty good. That's Jordan. I'm Eddie. This is Fight Night on the Horn. And that is What's Up With That. We'll be right back.
This is future UFC heavyweight champion Derek the Black Beast Lewis, and you're listening to Fight Night with Eddie and Jordan on the Horn.
Thank you, Derek Lewis. We are back for one more round. And Jordan, when are you getting back to town, man?
The number two ranked heavyweight, Derek Lewis.
Oh, yeah, you're right. My bad. Mr. Number Two, going for the number one headband.
Kind of hard to believe.
After that fight, yeah.
I get back in town. I'll be back in town this week. It's all good.
Yeah?
All good.
Got big
friend.
Weekend plans? You going to watch some Victor on Saturday?
I'm going to go to the lake. I'm going to watch maybe UFC a little bit. It should be a good time.
Man, I have another full weekend. I got a friend who's moved to Nashville, but he's coming back here for a CD release party on Friday at 1:00 to 1:00.
Okay.
If you want, come out and see the ADH Project. Live at 1:00 to 1:00 on South Lamar. I believe it's an 8:00 show, so you don't have to be up all night.
Oh, wow, thank you.
And then Saturday, since there's no UFC, I'm going to see the Counting Crows at Circuit of the Americas.
Your buddy is he going to open for the Counting Crows?
He is not.
Oh, so.
And hopefully he won't be as high as that dude was last time I saw the Counting Crows.
Oh, Adam Ritz. He was actually, they were playing in Vegas this weekend.
Yeah? Well, and you skipped that show?
I did not go see him.
I mean, you got to see it I've never seen live in person.
Yeah, I actually did see them. They opened for John Mayer, I believe, back in the early 2000s. I saw them in Utah when I was in college.
Oh, that's a pretty good one.
So, probably the same songs they're going to be singing.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if they have any more.
So, Eddie,
what else we got
this weekend? Not on Saturday, but on Sunday.
That's right.
Shogun Hua versus Anthony Smith headlines the card from UFC Hamburg, so they're in Germany. You've got Glover Teixeira versus Corey Anderson. This fight, this card has just been really all over the place. Originally, you had Volkan Ozdemir versus Shogun Hua.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Volkan got removed, a fight against Alexander Gustafsson at UFC 227. And then you had Glover Teixeira fighting Alir Latifi, and Latifi gets injured, and so they bring in Corey Anderson. Anthony Smith, he's coming off of that victory at middleweight, I think it was, it was at light heavyweight, over Rashad Evans.
Yeah.
And then Shogun, you know, Daniel Cormier just called him out as someone he wanted to fight if he got past Anthony Smith.
Yeah, that was an odd one.
That is an odd one. I mean, it's a legend, and, you know, it's someone he can just defend his title against, but, I mean...
I guess that's a nice name to have in your belt.
The top guy to fight.
I just hope Anthony Smith doesn't retire him like he did Rashad.
Yeah, no, you never know. I mean, it's Anthony Smith. He is a he's a beast.
Yeah. Also on the card, we've got Vitor Miranda, Marcin Tybura versus Stefan Struve. That's a good heavyweight belt.
Yep.
Mark Diakasi is back at lightweight. Ooh, Emil Weber Meek.
Yeah, no, I think that's one
that's good.
So I think that's good. That could be fun. There'll be some good fights on this card. You know, maybe I'm not going to watch every single fight on this fight card, but I will definitely record it and I will come back and watch it.
Yeah, and I'm definitely not doing DraftKings on this one.
Yeah, no, that's good. So hey, but on Thursday night, tomorrow night, guys, Lance Palmer is fighting Juma Baike. I think it's Tuman. Is it Tuman?
Oh, there's an
PFL,
X in there.
PFL 4. Lance Palmer was victorious at PFL 1, so this is his second fight of the featherweight tournament.
And so he wins this.
Andre
he's definitely
Harrison,
in the
who actually defeated Lance Palmer for the World Series of Fighting heavyweight championship. He's fighting against Nazareno Malagueri, and that guy. They both won at PFL 1 as well. So we're now getting into, in some of these places. We're getting into the second round of the PFL tournament.
Yeah, and both those guys that Palmer and Harrison are facing, both former Ultimate Fighter competitors.
Okay.
So not scraping the bottom of the barrel. They have Wikipedia pages, Jordan.
Well, I mean, that's always important. So, yes, you got Steven Seiler fighting on that card as well. Francie Marbaroso, that's someone that you would recognize from the UFC as well. So not too bad. So.
Right, and that's Thursday night on NBC Sports Network.
Yep.
Whereas, oh, by the way, UFC Hamburg, Sunday morning. Prelims are starting around 9:30 our time. Say what?
Well, yeah, it starts at 9:30. Is that where the main card starts at 9:30 or the prelims?
I think the prelims start at 9:30. So maybe some brunch fights for you if you're not interested in watching it too early.
Yeah, there you go.
And then also on Saturday, though, Invicta FC 30 for you hardcores. That'll be also Saturday night.
Okay, so Invicta FC is on Saturday night on the Fight Pass?
On Fight Pass, right.
Okay.
PFL on Thursday. UFC Hamburg Sunday. Counting Crows, Saturday night at Coda.
All righty, let's make a couple picks, Eddie, before we go.
All right.
All right, so really just Marcin Tybura versus Stefan Struve.
Man, that's a good one. I got to go with Tybura. Struve does not use his length like he should.
So. All right, I'm going to go with Struve, okay?
All right.
Glover Teixeira versus Corey Anderson.
That's a tough one.
I'm going to go with Glover.
I'm going Beeston. I think he's going to use his wrestling.
All right, I like that. And then Shogun Hua versus Anthony Smith.
As much as I want to say Shogun, I kind of got to go with Anthony Smith on this one.
All right, I will go with Shogun as well then. So we are all three different, so that's good. That doesn't happen very often where we pick.
No way, we're tying this time.
So we will have a winner.
Yeah.
So, well, Eddie, I hope you have a great rest of the week. I hope you enjoy the CD release party of your buddies 1-1. And then Counting Crows, enjoy that.
Thank you very much. And
I'm looking forward to next week to being in studio with you.
It'll be nice to have you back. Hope you have a good flight. And, you know, say bye to DC for me.
I will. All right, guys, stay tuned for Sports Guys Talking Wrestling with Stu Meyer and Justin Simmons. And we're proud to be your MMA resource and the official MMA show, 104.9 The Horn.
So tell your friends, subscribe, and enjoy the fights.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.